Chapter 29. Deep in the rainforest, it was doing what it usually does in rainforests, which was raining, hence the name. It was a gentle, persistent rain, not the heavy slashing which would come later in the year, in the hot season. It formed a fine dripping mist, through which the occasional shaft of sunlight would break, be softened, and pass through on its way towards the wet bark of a calvaria tree, on which it would settle and glisten. Sometimes it would do this next to a butterfly or a tiny, motionless, sparkling lizard, and then the effect would be almost unbearable. Away up in the high canopy of the trees, an utterly extraordinary thought would suddenly strike a bird, and it would go flapping wildly through the branches and settle at last in a different and altogether better tree, where it would sit and consider things again more calmly until the same thought came along and struck it again, or it was time to eat. The air was full of scents, the light fragrance of flowers, and the heavy odour of the sodden mulch with which the floor of the forest was carpeted. Confusions of roots tangled through the mulch, moss grew on them, insects crawled. In a space in the forest, on an empty patch of wet ground between a circle of craning trees, appeared, quietly and without fuss, a plain white door. After a few seconds it opened a little way with a slight squeak. A tall, thin man looked out, looked around, blinked in surprise, and quietly pulled the door closed again. A few seconds later the door opened again, and Reg looked out. "It's real," he said, "I promise you. Come out and see for yourself." Walking out into the forest, he turned and beckoned the other two to follow him. Dirk stepped boldly through, seemed disconcerted for about the length of time it takes to blink twice, and then announced that he saw exactly how it worked, that it was obviously to do with the unreal numbers that lay between minimum quantum distances and defined the fractal contours of the enfolded universe, and he was only astonished at himself for not having thought of it himself. "Like the cat flap," said Richard, from the doorway behind him. "Yes, quite so," said Dirk, taking off his spectacles and leaning against a tree, wiping them. "You spotted, of course, that I was lying. A perfectly natural reflex in the circumstances, as I think you'll agree. Perfectly natural." He squinted slightly and put his spectacles back on. They began to mist up again almost immediately. "Astounding," he admitted. Richard stepped through more hesitantly and stood rocking for a moment with one foot still on the floor in Reg's room and the other on the wet earth of the forest. Then he stepped forward and committed himself fully. His lungs instantly filled with the heady vapours and his mind with the wonder of the place. He turned and looked at the doorway through which he had walked. It was still a perfectly ordinary door frame with a perfectly ordinary little white door swinging open in it, but it was standing free in the open forest, and through it could clearly be seen the room he had just stepped out of. He walked wonderingly round the back of the door, testing each foot on the muddy ground, not so much for fear of slipping as for fear that it might simply not be there. From behind, it was just a perfectly ordinary doorframe, such as you might fail to find in any perfectly ordinary rainforest. He walked through the door from behind, and looking back again, could once more see, as if he had just stepped out of them again, the college rooms of Professor Urban Chronotis of St. Sed's College, Cambridge, which must be thousands of miles away. Thousands? Where were they? He peered off through the trees and thought he caught a slight shimmer in the distance between the trees.